Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Hey. We left off on daf Kuf Dalet on the base, about 15 lines before the end of the page, at Tana Kasav. Last word on the line is Kasav. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, by Karen and Mark E. Benson, commemorating the fifth yahrzeit of Karen's father, Marty Foreman, Bitzalel Mordechai ben David Yitzchak Halevi, zichrono levracha, whose yahrzeit is today, the Neshama Shevin Aliyah, and by Josh Kra, in memory of his mother, Malka Bas Yehuda, her neshama shevin aliyah as well, and by Alyssa and David Hirsch in honor of the yahrzeit of Alyssa's father, Yosef Herschel ben Yechiel, alav hashalom, his neshama shevin aliyah as well. We thank all the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first we're going to pick up by continuing the discussion of the malacha of kosev and different situations where sometimes you're chayiv and sometimes you're pater for the malacha of kosev. And then the Gemara is going to discuss the concept of nutrikun, that sometimes we have like a Rashi Tevis, even in the Torah itself, even in the Tanakh itself, there are certain words that aren't meant only as words, but they're meant to be in the Trik, and they're meant to be a Rashi Tevis for other things. And then in the last couple of lines of the Perek, we're going to discuss the idea of Yediyah Lechatzi Shir, that the Machlokas, whether having knowledge of the fact that it's Shabbos, in between half of Malacha, half a Shir Malacha, and the other half of Shir Malacha divides it into two separate acts, and would in fact make you potter. And then we're going to Be'ez Hashem begin the 13th parak of Masech Shabbos, the parak of Ha'oreg, and the Mishnah is going to discuss the minimal shear of the Malach of Oreg, and the minimal shear of the Malach of Osa Beis Batei Nirin, and the minimal shear of Tofer. The Gemara is going to discuss which details we're adding about the Malachos of Tofer and Korea in our Mishnah that we didn't already have in the Mishnah Daf Ayin Gimel. On Amud Beis, we're going to discuss when being Korea something is considered to be Mesakein, and therefore Chayiv. Normally you would associate being Korea, tearing something, with a destructive act, and Melkalkel is generally Pater. And then the Gemara is going to talk about it. We'll see if we get to it today at the very end of the Daf, the Chiyuv to be Misabel and to cry for an Adam Kosher, and to be Maspid an Adam Kosher. So let's begin. Again, Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, 15 lines from the end of the page. Tana, Kosovo Sachas Vishlima the Sefer. If a person writes one letter and through that is Mashlim, completes an entire Sefer, or a Chotechad Vishlima the Beged, he weaves one strand and thereby completes a beged. Chayiv, so you're chayiv, even though it's you didn't do very much, it's pachas mikshir, but through that you were mashlim the entire item, and because of that, one is going to be chayiv. The Meiri writes in the name of the Chachmei Adoros that the chiyuv is mitzad the malacha of kosev and oreg, not mitam maka bepatish. However, Minchas Chinuch and other achronim write that when we say that your chayiv over here must be maka bepatish, you lack the shir of ksiva, you lack the shir of Ariga, but what did you do? You finished something. You were mashlim a sefer. You were mashlim a beged. So the chiyuv is maka bepatish. So mantana, who's the shita that holds this way? So Rabbi Baravuna, Rabbi Eliezer, he. Damar achas ala arik chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer says that if you add just one strand to a woven beged, you're going to be chayiv. But according to the chamin, when you're mosif a chut echad on a woven beged, you're not going to be chayiv. So therefore, when you're mashlim a sefer al yedeis os achas, so you're mashlim a beged al yidei chut echad, you're also going to be potter. Rav Ashi Yom Rafilu Teim Rabbanan. We could even be saying like the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are going to be moda that when you're mashlim a sefer with a single letter, or you're mashlim a beged with a single strand, that you're chayiv, because lahashlim shiny, when you're doing a maisa hashlama, when you're completing something, that's totally different. That's different than just adding another strand into a beged without actually being mashlim the beged. Amrabi Amik, Akasavos Achas Pitzveri, Avachas Pitzipore, Chayiv. If a person writes one letter in one city and another letter in another city, he's Chayiv. Why? Ksiva, he Elisha Mechusar Kreva. It is a Ksiva, it's just that the two aren't juxtaposed with each other. You just need to bring them closer to each other. Vatnan, Kasav al Shnei Kosei Abayis al Shnei Dapei Pinkas ve'ei Negin ze'im ze Pater. But didn't we learn in our Mishnah that if you write on one wall of the house and then on the opposite wall of the house another letter, since they can't be read together, they don't read straight, so therefore it's going to be Pater. So you would think Kal v'chomer, when one is in Tveri and one is in Tzipori, then you're going to be Pater. So it seems like a stira. Says Gemara, no. Hasam mechusar meisa dekreva. If you have one letter on one wall of the house, the other letter on the opposite wall of the house, the only way to bring them close to each other is that you first have to do a meisa, like destroying one of the walls of your house, cutting out the letter from one of the walls of your house. But if you have two pieces of paper one in Tveri, one in Tzipori, all you need to do is bring them close together. There's no other Maisa that has to be done. Hacha lo mechusar Maisa dekreva. Over here by Tveri and Tzipori, there is no lack of a Maisa of bringing them close together. Tana higia os achas. If a person corrects one letter that is already written, but it was written shelo kilchusa, chayiv, he's chayiv for being magia the letter. Says Mar Hasha kasav os achas patri higia os achas chayiv. How does it make any sense? Even if you write a letter, a single letter, you're patri. How could be magia a letter be chayiv? Some Rav Sheshes, hachum eskinon, kigon shenetala the gagu shalchas v'asol shnei zainin. Sometimes by being magia os achas, you actually wrote two letters. There is a gag on the ches that ches is written by making two zayins and then making a bridge between them. So if you remove the bridge in between the two zayins, you've now written two zayins, and that's why you're going to be chayiv. Rava amar kol shenetala the tagu shal dalid v'asol reish. That it could be that you took the tag of the dalid, the extra piece that sticks out in the back of the dalid, and therefore turned it into a resh. So even though it's only osachas, you're chayiv because through that you may have been misakin the entire sefer. Meaning maybe that was a psul in the sefer, and by removing that edge of the dalid and making it the letter that it's supposed to be a resh. So the whole sefer, you have the entire sefer Torah written out, but the first word says bedeshus instead of bereshus. So you take out the edge of the resh. So then you fix the entire sefer. So Tana. Niskami lichtav osachas. The Tana Torah in the Braisa, if you have kavanah to write one letter, va'alu biyadu shtayim, but you ended up writing two letters. Like you wanted to write the letter ches, but you weren't so careful, and you never connected the bridge, so you ended up with two zayins. Chayiv, then you're going to be chayiv, because you wrote two letters. Ay, va'atnan pater, but doesn't the Mishnah say that you're pater in such a case? Lo kasha. Had de ba'yiziyune, had de lo ba'yiziyune. The Mishnah that says that your pater is talking about a case where the zayins didn't, still needed a ziyun, it still needed the tagim on the top of the zayins, because if, therefore they're not complete. Whereas the one that says the brisa that says that you're chayiv is talking about where the zayins didn't need any more tagim. They're already the tagim had already been completed. There are certain letters in the Torah that require a tagim on top, that require writing extra crowns on top of the letter. The letters of shat nizgat shin ayin tes nun zayin gimel tzadi in the sefer Torah tefillin and mezuzah require three small tagim on the top. One that faces a little bit toward the right, one a little bit toward the left, and one that goes straight up. That's how Rashi writes in Maseches Menachos and Daf Chav Tesan Beis. Tulsa says in the name of Ksav Yadav Rashi in his Perush from Masech Shabbos, very similarly, and Rashi writes that there are some that make all three tagin lemala zokfim v'lo notim leaving the small straight up and not leaning in one direction or the other. And the reason that the tagim are called the ziyun is because they're supposed to be made in the shape of a zayin, of a tiny little zayin. You draw three little zayins on top of the letter. However, Yesh Omrim, the Rishonim quote, that the reason it's called the Ziyun is because the leftmost of the three Tagin is written on the left leg or the left arm of the letters of Shat Nizgat, and the left arm of these letters is it looks like a Zayin. The left, if you have a Shin, so the Shin has three branches, so the leftmost branch of the Shin looks like a Zayin, and that's the part that gets the three Zayins on top of it. So that's why it's called Ziyunin, because it's on the Zion that you do that. And that works very well if you have Ksav Beis Yosef. Ksav Ari doesn't work that way. Ksav Ari, the leftmost, the left branch of the Ayin or of the Shin, is actually a Vav. It's not a Zion. So for Ksav Beis Yosef, you have a Sefer Torah that's written in the Ksav Beis Yosef, so that it in fact works out in such a way. So Kasav Osachas Nutrikon. If a person writes one letter as a Nutrikon, meaning it's meant to stand for an entire word, Rabbi Shuvim Seir Mechayev Acham Potter, Rabbi Shuvim Seir says Yechayev, because it's like a word, and the Chum say, no, you putter, it is only a single letter. I'm Rabbi Yochum Yishom, Rabbi Yosef Ben Zim, Rabbi Minayin, Lashon Nutrikon Min HaTorah. Where do we find that the Torah even employs Nutrikon? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says by Avram Avinu, Ki Av Hamon Goyim Nisaticha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made him an Av Hamon Goyim. The words Av Hamon must be a Rashi Tevos of six different things. Now, each of these, we're going to say they have to be a Rashi Tevos. So why do they have to be a Rashi Tevos? Because the words Av Hamon are a substitution for the word for the letters in Avraham, but it's missing the resh, and instead of the resh, we have a nun in its place. So from the fact that the Torah was mishana the lashon, it must be that it's meant to be some sort of drasha. From the fact that it takes away the resh and it adds in the nun, it must be. So all of the nutrikons that we're going to have in the sugya are based on that idea that there's something off about the way the word is being used, and therefore it's an indicator that it's meant to tell us something more. So how is it a what are these six six things that the Torah is telling us. The Aleph is Av Nesatich Lumos, that Avram Avinu is a father to all the nations. The Beis is Bechor Nesatich Lumos, that he's Asher Bechata Avram, he's the chosen among the nations. The Hey is Hamon is Chaviv Nesatich Lumos, that he is the most beloved among the nations. That's a Hey and that's a Ches, so that we often have interchangeable. The Hey and the Ches are interchangeable. Gemar Brachos Tav Lamed Hey, Darshans from Kodesh Hilulim, Kodesh Chilulim. The Yerushalmi also, that we don't, the Rabbanan always switch around the Hey and the Ches, the Yerushalmi tells us. So the Hey in the word Hamon might stand for Chaviv. That's how all the Rishonim point out. The Rashba, the Ritva, that's not a stretch. That's considered to be within the bounds of what Chazal normally darshan. Mem is Melech Nesatich Lu'umos, that he is made a king over all the nations. The Vav is Vasik Nesatich Lu'umos. What exactly is a Vasik? So a Vasik means someone who's an Anav and someone who is Mechaviv Mitzvos. That's what Rashi writes in Brachos on Daf Tes. And Avram Avinu was an Anav and he was Mechaviv Mitzvos, Mefurish in the Torah that way. And Nun is Neman Nesatich Lu'umos, that he's trustworthy. That's what the Pasuk says in Nehemiah, Umatzasas Levavo, Ne'emon Lifanecha. So Rabbi Yochanan Dideyam, or Rabbi Yochanan himself says, how do we see that there's a nutrikon used in the Torah in a different context by the Aseres Hadibros? Anochi, when it says Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's actually a nutrikon from the fact that the Torah says the Lashon of Anochi and not Ani, which is the more common word. It must be that it's an indicator that we're supposed to make a nutrikon over here. Ano nafshi ksivis yevis, that I myself am being given over in writing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying. You want me? The Torah is a reflection of me. Rabbanan Amri, the Rabbanan say, no, Amira Ni'im Aksiva Yehiva. It's a very pleasant Amira that is being written and given over. In the Ein Elio and the Ein Yaakov, he explains that the Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and the Rabbanan over here is very similar to the Machlokas in the Medrash and Shir Hashirim between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Brechia. The Rabbanan hold that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo Va'atzmo was Chokek the Dibor on the Luchos. Rabbi Brechia says, no, the Dibor went out from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then it went itself and was chokek itself on the luchos. So the Rabbi Yochanan holds like the Rabbanan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ano nafshi ksivas yivas, I myself, because if HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself was chokek v'ksiva, so Ano nafshi. Whereas if you hold that it's the Dibor that went on its own and engraved itself on the luchos, then it's Amirin Ima ksiva yihiva, that it's the Amirin Ima that did its own writing. Ikadamri Anochi l'mafreya. Some read the Anochi as an atrikul l'mafreya in reverse order. Yehiva ksiva, that you've been given a writing that is whose words are very trustworthy. To Bei Rabbi Nassan Amri, in the Beis Medrash Rabbi Nassan, they said that there's a third possibility of where we find nutrikon in the Torah. When the Malach is talking to Bilam, he says Ki Yarat Haderech L'Negdi. The word Yarat is a nutrikon. Yara Ra'asa Natsa, that it was afraid, it saw, and then it veered from the path. But that's also a nutrikon when he hit the donkey on his way to Moab, and it veered from the path. So that's that must have been an atrikon as well. So the yiru was before the re'iyah, because the ason was afraid from the malach even before it even saw the malach. That's what we find with the men that were with Daniel and Sefer Daniel, that even though they didn't see the ish lavash habadim, there was all of a sudden there was a charada that they had. They had a certain trepidation that sometimes there's an intuition that a person has to be afraid even before they can understand why they're having that intuition that they should feel that way. So that's what happened over here with the malach and the donkey. The Beit Rabbi Shmuel Tan and the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they had a different possibility of nutrikon. It's by the pasuk describing the minchas haomer Carmel. It describes it as Carmel, the moist grain Carmale, that it's so moist it's swollen like a pillow that is full. Rav Yaakov says we find nutrikon in the Torah in the tzavah that David gave to Shlomo HaMelech before he died, when he told him about the maisa of Shimi ben Gera. So he says to him, "Vuhu kilani klola nimretzes." The word nimretzes is a nutrikon over the klolos of Shimi ben Gera. The Maral explains that midreshes is must be a nutrikon because it's a word that we don't find too many times in the in Tanakh. So it must be that it's a nutrikon of something else. The Marsha writes that it's a nutrikon because it should have said klala nimratza. Klala is singular, so why would it be nimretzes? Where do the nimretzes come from? So from the fact that it didn't say nimratza, it says nimretzes, that must be That must be that it's a that it's really in a trikun. So what is it in a trikun of? Nimret says, so Noefu, he's an adulterer, Moavi, who is a Moavi, Rotzeach, who is a murderer, Tzorer, who is an adversary, Toeva, who, and he's an abomination. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Manedaber, Manetz Tadak. Another example of an trikun in the Torah, from the fact that Yehuda says to Yosef, after he finds the goblet, so he says, Manedaber, Manetz Tadak. So the Lashon Nitztadak is also must be a nutrikan can't be understood only as the plain word, because they should not have been mashia themselves and say manitz tzadak if they really were tzadikim. So it must be that he's just speaking in a humble way toward the melech, but he really means to say something else. So what's he saying? Nechonim anachnu, tzadikim anachnu, tahorim anachnu, dakim anachnu, kedoshim anachnu, meaning everything he's saying is the exact opposite of what the word sounds like he's saying. It sounds like saying manitz tzadak, that I'm really guilty, that we're really guilty, we've done something wrong. But he's saying, no, we are 100% innocent over here. Okay, final mission in the parak. HaKosef Sheyosius B'Shei Alemos. If a person writes two letters and two Alemos, with two periods of Shechcha, he forgot that today was Shabbos, he writes one letter, then he remembers that it's Shabbos, and he realizes that he had written that letter, and then he forgets again that it's Shabbos, and he writes another letter near that first letter. So Acha Shachros Achas Ben Arbaim, or he writes one letter in the morning, one letter in the evening, that's also considered like Shtei HaLemos. That's how Rashi writes over here. Kiva da'avalei shvuhus ben etayim kedei leida havalei kish Shtei HaLemos, since there was enough time to have realized in between, even though he didn't realize in between, that's considered like Shtei HaLemos. Tosos takes issue with that. Mehechi tesi, that there's a shear of time that would pass that we automatically consider something Shtei HaLemos? No, maybe you'll say, if it's Acha Shachos Achas Ben Arbayim, Mistama, he knew in between, but you still are going to require that he has a yediyah in between in order to call it Shtei HaLemos. So in either of these cases, that you write Osach HaShachos Osach Ben Arbayim, or you write Shtei HaLemos from Gamliel, Mechayev Echam Potrim. The Rav Gamliel says, Yechayev Echam Seir Potrim. So Maika Mifli, what's Nukud Samachlokas? Rav Gamliel Savar Ein Yediyah L'Chatzi Shir. That knowing about a Chatzi Shir of a Maisa that you did is not considered knowledge, and therefore it doesn't divide up your Ksivas Osachas into two separate actions. So it turned out that you wrote Shtei Osios in one helim. Rabbanan Savri Yesh Yediyah L'Chatzi Shir, and the Rabbanan hold that there is a Yediyah L'Chatzi Shir. So you did two half actions. You didn't do any full action, and therefore the Rabbanan say that you're going to be Pater over here. Hadron Allah Chabona. Now we begin Perek HaOreg. So it's Kedai when learning Perek HaOreg to know a little bit about the weaving process. It's very hard to explain the weaving process in words. Much, much better to watch a video. Daf HaChaim has a fantastic video where it goes through the various Malachos of Shabbos. I strongly recommend availing yourself of that. It's on the it's on the All Daf app. They have a link to Daf HaChaim. So they have a fantastic video that explains all the malachos, but the weaving process in particular is very, very helpful. So anyway, the Mishnah had already listed on Daf Ayin Gimel the 39 malachos of Shabbos and the Shir of Ariga. So the Arigas two chutei arev. So our Mishnah is going to go through a machlokas about that, meaning to weave you have strands of shesi, that's the top to bottom, the strands that are tied on first to the loom, and then you have the arev that goes in and out above and below each strand of shesi, and then you turn it around and you put it back and then turn around and put back through the baguette as many times as it takes until you have a nice baguette. So Rabbi Lazar Omar Oreg Shlosha Chutin Batchila, that if you do the first three passes through of Ariga, of the strand of arev, then Va'achas Ala Oreg, or one strand that you're adding to an already woven garment, chayiv. That's the shear for chayiv chatos of ariga. V'chamrim bein batchila bein basof shear o shnei chutin. Now, whether you're starting it off or whether it's already at the end of an already woven beged, the shear is always going to be shnei chutin. Tosus points out basof doesn't really mean basof. The Gemara we already had on Kuftal Adam Beis said that according to Rav Ashi, if you do the last strand on a beged, that is thereby mashlim the entire beged, even the chachamim are moda that a chut echad is going to be chayiv. When the chum say basof over here, they don't mean mamish basof. They mean later on in the weaving, in the making of that beged, but not the very last strand. The very last strand, even the chum are going to be moda that one strand is enough to be chayiv. That's as far as the malacha of ariga. What about the malacha of osa shtei batei nirin? So the batei nirin are the loops through which the shesi threads went through, that every other chassis thread went through a loop that was attached to a pedal or to a stick, where you pick up all the loops at one time, so that when you put the Arev thread through, you don't have to keep going up and down and up and down in order to stick the Arev thread through. If you pull up half the strings, every other string, then the Arev thread can go straight through, and then when it's released, when the Bati Nirin are released, it now goes back into it forms a perfectly good beged. So when you also Shtei Bati Nirin, so what's the shir? Benirin, Bekiros, Benafa, Bekvara, Ubisal. That if you pass Shtei Bati Nirin, whether you're doing it in a weaving kli that's called Nirin, or whether it's a Kirus, or whether it's a Nafa, or whether it's a Kvara, whether it's a Sal, that you were a basket weaving, you wouldn't actually use Nirin, just at the beginning of the weaving, after you arrange the chassis strands, you would do something just to separate every other one, so that it will make it easy to weave the basket through on the other end. So chayiv in all these cases, you chayiv even if it's not loops like you would normally have on a loom. Va'tofer shtei tefiros, va'korei al menaslid for shtei tefiros. And as far as the melach of tofer of sewing, if you sew two stitches, or the melach of korea, if you tear al menas to be tofer shtei tefiros, that's also the shear of the melacha of korea. So says the Gemara Kiyasa, Rabbi Yitzchak Tani shtayim. When Rabbi Yitzchak came, he taught our mission that Rabbi Eliezer says that if you are shtayim betchila and achas ala arig yirchayiv. So affecting more of anantanan shlosha, but our Mishnah says that it's only if you do shlosha chutim mitchila that Rabbi Eliezer is mechayiv. Lo kasha habalimi habakatini. Now the difference is Rabbi Eliezer holds both of those things. Sometimes you chayiv with two, sometimes you chayiv with three. It depends how thick the strings are. Well, which way is which? So Amri l'laigisa, v'Amri l'laigisa. Some explain that with the thick strings you need three, and some explain no, with the thick strings you're already chayiv with only two. How so? Why does that make sense? So Amri l'laigisa. Some say that the Mishnah is talking about thick strings, and Rabbi Yitzchak is talking about thin strings. Alimi telasa. For thick strings, you need three in order to be chayiv, because lo sasri, telasa lo sasri. When you have three, it won't come apart. But trei sasri, two thick strings are not enough. It's much more likely to fall apart. But katini, thin strings, trei nami lo sasri. Then even if it's just two, it's not going to come apart. Meaning, because if you have thin strings that are very tightly tangled together, or very tightly tied together, much, much harder to pull out a knot, right? If you have a thick rope and there's a knot tied in it, it's very easy to undo the knot. It becomes much looser. But you have like the old fashioned bakery strings. I don't even know if bakeries use that anymore. But the old fashioned bakery strings, when they tie those knots, so those are impossible to, those were never a good idea. Those are impossible to pull apart. So because they're impossible to pull apart, right? Because they're so thin, they're impossible to pull apart. And some say it in the other direction. Katini tlasa yadi'i, trela yadi'i. When it comes to the narrower strings, if it's three, then they're recognizable, so that's significant. But if it's two, they're so thin, they're not recognizable, it would not be significant. Alimi treinami yadi'i. But if it's alimi, then even two would be recognizable. It would be easily recognizable, and therefore would be a significant malacha. Tanya, ha'orek shloshel chutin betchi. If a person weaves the first three strands, ve'echad ala arig, or one additional strand on an already woven beged, chayiv. V'chamrom bein bechila bein basof, shir is shnei chutin. Whether it's bechila or basof, the shir is always shnei chutin. U'basof, and if you're being orig on the edge, across the length of the chassis, with a different type of string than the other chassis strings, and it's the width of three batei nirin, then the shir to be chayiv is shnei chutin barochav shlo. Two strands of arev that are at the width of three batei nirin. Even though you don't have a rochav of shlosha batei nirin, kimlo rochav asit, along the length of a shear of a sit, which is the shear of the ariga that you'd be chayiv from lachas oreg, nevertheless you're chayiv even with a shorter ariga. Halamazedom, l'oreg tzilzul katan. It's like making a tiny, like weaving a tiny little belt where you're going to be chayiv. Shnei chutin brochav shlosha Batinirin, where if you have only two strands of arev with the width of shlosha batinirin, you're going to be chayiv. So too, when you're attaching something or weaving something. something onto the edge of the beged with another min, you're chayiv even with the width of shlosha bati nirin, even though it's not melo rochav piyasit, so it's not the normal shear. So ha'orek shlosha chutim betchila ve'echad al orek chayiv stama k'rabi Eliezer. So the Gemara says when it says that if you weave three strands initially or one on an already woven garment, that's stam going like Rabbi Eliezer. Tanya idach, we have another brisa ha'orek shnei chutin alagas. If a person is orek on a beged that's already existing, two additional strands in the middle, v'ala imra or on the hem chayiv. Rabbi Eliezer omer afilu echad, that even one on an already existing beged, you're going to be chayiv ubasaf. And if it's on the edge, shnei chutin brach of shlosha batinirin chayiv. Halamaze doma lorek tziltzel katan shnei chutin al roch of shlosha batinirin. That it's just like making a tiny belt where the shear becomes, instead of kamlo piyasit, the shear becomes shnei chutin al roch of shlosha batinirin. So orik shnei chutin al gas al imra chayiv. Now this brisa says that if you're shnei chutin al gas and al imra, you're going to be chayiv. Well, that's tamak rabbanan. That's assuming like the rabbanan that shnei chutin on an already existing beged is what's necessary to be chayiv, not like Rabbi Eliezer, that even adding one chut on an already existing beged is going to be chayiv. So here we have a stam brisa, where the stam lashon of the brisa assumes like the rabbanan. Okay, ha'osa shtei batei nirin. We then said that if you make shtei batei nirin, you make two of the loops through which the chassis strands go through, you're going to be chayiv. So my benirin, but we said shtei batei nirin binirin, you're chayiv. What does it mean that you're chayiv for making shtei batei nirin when you make it in a kli that's called nirin? So Rabbi Tarti bebatei nira. Two times it passes through each one. They have two strands of chassis between the strands of the nirim. One time it goes between the strands of the nirim that are hanging on one pole, and one time on the teeth of the fork that goes through the chad de benira. And one time it passes through in the base near of the nir that's hanging on the other pole. So bakirus, and then the Mishnah said on a kirus. So my bakirus. What does it mean? What's a kli that's called a kirus? Amarav mitzovisa. A kirus is a weaving instrument that people use that helps raise and lower the every other strand. Meaning, very often a loom will have a pedal so that the bati nirin will be lifted up by pushing the pedal with your foot. And when the bati nirin are lifted up, then you can put the strands right through. Again, very difficult to describe in words, but very kedai to see in pictures or to see in video. Va'tofer shtei tviros. Now back to things that are easier to describe. If a person sews two stitches, so hatanina, we already learned in the Mishnah when it described the lamentas malachos themselves. Bavos malachos va'tofer shtei tviros. So what's our Mishnah adding? When we said the malach of tofer, we didn't just say tofer. We said tofer shtei tviros. So what are we adding? So mishum dekabayu lemishna seifa va'korea almanaslu for shtei tviros katanina miyatofer. Since the seifa wants to talk about being korea almanas to be tofer shtei tefiros, so we have tofer in the reisha as well. But really, we don't need tofer over here. We already learned everything that this Mishnah is teaching about tofer. We already learned in the Mishnah and Daf Ayin Gimel. So it says Mar Korea Hanami Tanina Avos Malachos. But Korea, we also said in the Avos Malachos when we listed the Malach of Koreos, Korea almanas lit for shtei tefiros. So what are we adding over here? Ella Mishum Tekbayi the Mishnah Seifa HaKorea B'Chamaso. No, it's not about what our Mishnah says. It's about the Mishnah on Amud Beis. We wanted to introduce the Malacha of Korea because the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to teach us a Chiddush Din about the Malacha of Korea. So in order to introduce the Malacha of Korea, we first mentioned being Tofer, and then we'll say the Chiddush Din that we're interested in saying about Korea in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, because it's going to talk about Korea b'chamaso v'yalmeso, that if a person tears a garment because he's angry or because someone died and it's a sign of mourning, that you're going to be chayiv, because it's not almanas litvar shtei tefiros. That's why it has to introduce it by saying Tofer Shtei Tefiros, because the whole reason for the patur of being Korea B'Chamaso is that when you're Korea B'Chamaso, it's not Almanas Litvar. So it's important to first tell me the Malach of Tofer Shtei Tefiros in order to properly introduce that next Mishnah. V'Korea Almanas Litvar Shtei Tefiros Heich Mishkachsa. What's a case where if you wanted to sew something, you would need to tear in order to sew? Meaning, if it's already sewn, why would you need to tear it open just in order to sew? So says Mar David Kikista. because it was done in a lousy way. It was done in a way where the stitching wasn't straight, and it became like a kiss. It became like a pocket, meaning a pocket is when there's a little protrusion. So if you were really sewing it straight and sewing it properly, nothing would have bunched up. You wouldn't have had a pocket. So by if it's bunched up, and therefore you see that it's not done properly, so you want to fix it, so you might undo the stitching that was done, that was not done properly, and that way you'll be ready to restitch it in a proper manner. Okay, now is the Mishnah that actually tells us the Chiddush Din about Koreya that we were just referring to. HaKoreya b'chamaso, if someone tears something out of anger, va'almeso, or he tears because someone died, and this is a sign of mourning over a mace, kol makalkalin, or you do anything that's just purely destructive, paturin. So in such a case, you're going to be pater, because whenever we say pater by Shabbos, obviously it means pater aval as. But this is a chisaron in melechas machsheves, that since it's mekalkel, it's not a full melechas machsheves, and therefore it's going to be potter. It's only aser midrabanan. It's not considered to be a melecha d'oraisa. A mekalkel menas l'sakin shiro k'misakin. But if you're destroying something with the intention of then fixing it, meaning it needs to be torn down in order to make it better, so then the shir is going to be the same shir of misakin, because then it's something that's productive. So once we mention that the shirim of different malachos, so we're going to go into some other malachos. We mentioned that that wool is shorn from the animal, so then you have to prepare it for the weaving. So the Mishnah had mentioned many avos malachos that are associated with that, so we're going to go through the shir of those avos malachos. Shir ha-melabein, the shir of the malacha of melabein, of whitening the wool, and the shir of and the shir of ha-menapet, separating out the tangled strands to prepare it for tevia, vatsoveya, and dyeing, vatova, and twisting the threads, kimlo rochav hasit. The shear is always going to be the width of kimlo rochav hasit kafel, the space between one's pointer and one's middle finger when they're pulled as far apart from each other as possible, twice, doubled over. That's the length of the strand that you need to twist in order to be chayav for the melacha, the length of the strand that you need to dye in order to be chayav for the malacha. So we said that the va'orik shnei chutin shiroi kamlo asit. But when we spoke about weaving two strands, so that only needs to be kamlo rochav asit, not sit kafel. Only one shear of a sit. That's the shear of weaving. We pointed out that shear might change if you're ala safe, if you're adding some other type of color strand on the edge of a beged. But in the beged itself, when it comes to weaving, it's kamlo rochav asit. Okay. So says the Gemara. We had said that in the Mishnah, if you korea b'chamaso, if someone tears something in anger, or tears over someone who died, so that's mekalkel, and he's going to be pater. So, frekli gemara uraminu, I'll ask you a stira, that it says in the braisa, korea b'chamaso ba'evlo, v'almeso chayiv, it says beferish, that if you tear in anger, or in avelus, or over a dead person, you're chayiv. So, v'yav b'isha mechalas ha-shabbos, yatsi de'kriya. So, even though you're chayiv, and it's a violation of chil shabbos, one is still yotzei the mitzvah of kriya, right? The mitzvah of kriya, the Gemara in the third parak of Moed Katan tells us we derive from the fact that after Nadav and Avihu died, Moshe tells Aaron to Elazar and Elazar Yisamar, "Bigdechem lo tifremu." Sounds like Dafka's special instructions for them that they shouldn't act like full Avelim. But normally an Avel would be Koreya. So you are Yotzei the Kriya even if you did it inappropriately, and you don't have to re-tear again during the weekday. But our Mishnah says that a Koreya b'chamaso and almeso is potter. So how can this price say that you're chayiv? Lo kasha. Ha b'meisti day, ha b'meisti alma. That the price is talking about where it's your relative. So if the mace is one's own relative that you have to be Koreya for, so that's not considered a kilkel. You're fulfilling the halacha by being Koreya. So that's not mekalkel. Whereas the Mishnah that says that it's pure mekalkel and therefore you're going to be potter, that's talking about a mace that you don't have any reason to be Koreya for because it's not your relative. So frek the gemari vaha meso katani. But how can you say that? In the Mishnah it also says meso. Meso sounds like it's your relative. So how can you make an ukimta that the Mishnah is talking about? It's a mace di alma. It says, no, it could be that it's mace di day, that it's your own mace, but it's among those people that you have no chiyuv to be misabel for, and therefore you have no chiyuv to be Koreya for, and therefore it's considered to be mekalkel. You're only chayv to be mesabel for the people that a kohen is allowed to be metame to. A wife, a father, a mother, a son, a daughter, a brother, and a sister, right? But other krovim, even though you may feel very close to them, there's no chiyuv of avelus. So in fact, the Rambam even holds in the second paragraph of Hilchos Avel that a chiyuv of a husband to be mesabel for his wife, or a wife to be mesabel on her husband, is only a chiyuv midrabanan. But the bottom line is, once you're dealing outside of those shiva krovim that one has a chiyuv to be mesabel for, so then you may feel like a sense of avelus, but to be korea is going to be considered mekalkel. In fact, the Gemara, but wait, who is this person that you're being korea for? Vi chacham, who if the person is a chacham chiyuv mechayiv, you're absolutely chayiv to be korea for a chacham. Detanya chacham shmesa kol krovav. If a chacham dies, everyone's considered their krovim. A chacham means someone who's appointed to a position of being the mora hora'a in a tzibur, of being the posek of the community. Hakol krovav salkadaitach. Wait, everyone becomes the relative of the chacham? Eleim hakol kikrovav. Everyone, no, not everyone is actually his relative, but everyone's like his relative. Meaning everyone in the sense that they have to be korea. Hakol korin alav, hakol choltzin alav. Everyone has to be korea their begadim. Everyone has to be choletz kisveim, which is something we don't do anymore for some reason. But it's one of the dinim of velus to pull their clothing off of their shoulder as a sign of mourning. Hakol mavrin alav b'rechava, they provide a sudas havra'a in the rechava shalir, which is something also we do for avelim. So we do that for everybody when the chacham dies. So it says malot tzricha delav chachamu. Okay, so the case of our mishnah must be, when is the korea something that was useless? If the person was not a chacham, but ain't a chinami. If the person is a chacham, then that's called mesakein. The adam kashru says more, but wait. Even if he's not a chacham, even if he's just an adam kosher, chiyuvim mechayiv. A person has a chiyuv to be korea on an adam kosher. According to the Ravid, the chiluk between a chiyuv kriya and a chacham shemes and the chiyuv kriya of an adam kosher shemes is that an adam kosher, you're only chayiv to be korea when he's befanav, when you're right next to the mace. But the chacham, you chayiv to be korea wherever he is, and wherever you hear about it, even after the kvura. According to the Ramban, a chacham, you chayiv to be korea, even chachamim kamoso, even other people who are of the same stature. An adam kosher, you only have to be korea, people who are, by an adam kosher, the chacham do not, the people who are chachamim, people who are gadol, are not chayiv to be misabel on someone who's katan mimenu, who's an adam kasher. But the point is, though, there is this concept of being korea for an adam kasher. So maybe the case is, how can you call it mekalkel just because it's not your relative and it's not a chacham? Being an adam kasher, sometimes you also have a chiyuv. Tetanim neima mesim banav menosav shel adam kshein ketanim. Why do people have children die when they're young? Kedeshi if because the misabel an adam kasher, so that someone will ultimately cry and be misabel an adam kasher. This should promote crying and being misabel. So kadeshi yifkar bona shakul minei. What does that mean? How's that going to promote him to cry for an adam kasher? If a person lo alein rachman al slan loses his children, that's going to make him ultimately cry for an adam kasher? No, meaning the gemara says erbona shakul minei. What, you're taking it as like a collateral? Hashem takes the children as a collateral, and then one day when he cries for an adam kasher, he's getting the children back. That's not the way it works. Elam. No, it's an onesh. Because he wasn't bachem v'sabel adam kasher, that's why the children are mesim k'shem ketanim. The mita k'neged mita is that there's no greater adam kasher than children, because children are naki from any chet. So they are an adam kasher. Shkala bochal adam kasher, mochlan al kol avonos. If anyone who cries over an adam kasher gets mechilas avonos, b'shvil kavod sh'asa, because of the kavod that he did for him. So bottom line is that we have a kasher over here. Why is it that we consider it to be mekalkel? The person might have been an adam kasher. Lo tzricha delav adam kasher. Nah, the person's not an adam kasher. That must be the case in the Mishnah. But even if he's not an adam kasher, v'idikai b'shas tzias m'shama chiyuv m'chayiv. If you're just there at shas tzias m'shama, you chayiv to be korea. D'tanya b'shim min loz romer, romer al meis b'shas tzias m'shama, chayiv l'kroa. If you're there when a person dies, you have to be korea. Halamaz adomer l'sefer Torah, shenisrafa. This is one of many places in Shas where the Gemara tells us that a Jew has a status of a sefer Torah. So it's like watching a sefer Torah being burnt where a person has a chiyuv korea. So let's see. The lokai b'shas tzias neshama. No, the Mishnah is talking about that. It's not your relative, and it's not a chacham, and it's not an adam kasher, and you weren't there at shas tzias neshama. Then tearing is just a kilkul. So tenach meso el chamaso kasha. So that works with the question about tearing something over someone dying, but tearing something in anger, we still had a stira that between the Mishnah and the Braisa, whether you chayiv or not. So chamaso nami lo kasha. Ha Rabbi Yehuda, ha Rabbi Shimon. That's a machlo. This would qualify as a melach shein shrich legufa. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'd be chayiv. Harabbi Shimon, the melach shein shrich legufa pater leh. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you'd be pater. Emer d'sham leh Rabbi Yehuda b'mesake b'makalkal misham leh. Even Rabbi Yehuda's mechayiv melach shein shrich legufa requires that it be some sort of tikkun. Some Rabbi Yehuda nami mesake nu dekav nachas roch liyitzro. It's also mesake because you're calming yourself down by letting your anger out. Okay, gavna mishari. Are you allowed to let your calm yourself down by expressing anger in such a way? If a person acts that way and he just breaks things when he gets angry, you should view him like an Obed Avod Zarah, because that's how the Yetzirah works. He starts with small things until he gets you to do something big like being Obed Avod Zarah. Amar Rav Yehuda Micro, where do we see that? That's the Derech of the Yetzirah. The Pasuk says, what's the El Zor that's in a person's guf? That's a reference for the Yetzirah. Now the case is that you're not angry. The reason you're breaking things and you're tearing things is to impose a little bit of fear on the members of the household, to let them know that you're showing anger, but you're not actually feeling anger. And we find great Amoraim that did this. Rabbi Yehuda used to undo the small strands that came out of the edge of the beged in order to show people that he was angry. Rav Acha bar Yaakov tavar mani taviri. He would break already broken kelim. Rav Sheshes Rami Lamasi munini aresha. He would pour fish brine over the shivcha's head in order to show his anger. And Rabbi Abba tavar nichtema. He would break the cover of a jug in order to show that one is angry. So one's not allowed to be angry, but one is allowed to show anger, and a certain sense that is a tikkun, because that sort of helps them calm down. Okay, we'll stop there. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow, maybe tomorrow night I'll do a daf yomi shir, even though I think I do have one from last cycle, but it helps me learn the daf better on Shabbos if I give a shir. So I'll do one tomorrow night, Baruch Hashem, at 10 o'clock for anyone who's interested. Same place, same Zoom. All right, great Shabbos, everyone.